Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We are in the middle of a series. We actually started it last week called Headspace. Today is week two. And I'm very, very excited about this series. If you missed last week, I kind of want to kind of catch you up on where we were so that you can walk with us moving forward. We're actually talking about a topic that you may have never heard discussed in church before. But from our perspective, church is the absolute best place to talk about. And in fact, one of the things we're going to talk about today is why church is such a great avenue for this discussion. But again, if it's your first time, before we even jump in, I want to encourage you already, if you haven't, download our app. Because on this app, you can stay connected with our church, especially in this season of being online only, but you can also go back and catch up on our series. Because like I said, we started this series last week. We covered a ton of content, and we're going to kind of keep moving forward today. But just real quick, here's what we started talking about last week. We started talking about mental health. And the way we define mental health is it's our ability to function effectively in daily life, specifically our ability to have productive activities, fulfilling relationships, adapt to change, and cope with adversity. The reason we're talking about this is because you've experienced this, and I've experienced this, and we've all experienced this in the middle of COVID and all the changes that have been happening in our lives. We can all admit that no matter how healthy we were, no matter what was happening going into COVID, things are a little more difficult now than they were. Specifically in these four areas, we can find it's a little more difficult to have productive activities. It can be a little more difficult to have fulfilling relationships, a little more difficult to adapt to change, a little more difficult to cope with adversity. And last week, we talked about the fact that Jesus not only understands this, Jesus not only identifies with this, Jesus wants to step into this moment and provide us this path forward to mental health. And last week, we talked about Jesus talks about giving us life to the fullest. It's a promise he makes. He says he comes to give us life to the fullest. And the reason Jesus has to come and give us this life to the fullest, as we talked about last week, is because we have an enemy. We call him the thief, Satan. We learned last week that his tool of choice, sin, is the cause of really every problem we've ever had in our lives, but specifically in this season, the mental health struggles we have, because sin broke what God created. Sin broke the world, which means it broke our genetics. It means it broke the environment we live in, and it means it even broke the choices that we make. And this thief who wants to steal, kill, and destroy us is constantly attacking us. And it's into that moment Jesus speaks and says, it's okay. I have come to rescue you. I have come to give you life. I have come to give you life too. The fullest. Again, this is what we covered all last week, so I'd highly encourage you, if you missed it, go back and catch up. But the most important thing we talked about last week was the fact that in this season and in any season, when we find ourselves having struggles, physical struggles or mental struggles, we need to remember there's no stigma on those struggles. There's no shame on those struggles. They were caused by a thief, which is why we ended last week by saying, hey, it's okay to not be okay. We were born into a world that's not okay. We have a Savior who came to rescue us because he knew we were not okay. But he did come, and he wants to rescue. So while it's okay to not be okay, we also said this, it's not okay to stay that way. And I want to be very clear. This is not an indictment. This is an invitation. This is not an indictment of your behaviors, of your choices, and saying, why haven't you figured this out? This is an invitation from your Heavenly Father to say, hey, I know you're struggling. I know you're living in a world that sin broke. But I sent my Son to rescue you. And when he died on that cross and he came back to life, it was proof that I'm more powerful than the sin that's causing your struggles. And if you lean into me, and if you walk with me, and if you trust me, I am telling you, I can give you a life that is fuller and better than what you are currently experiencing. And that's exactly where I want to pick up today. If you joined us last week, you know that we talked about a lot of information, and I sort of just ended it with a bit of a challenge, but it was really an invitation to observe your life, just to begin observing last week and just ask, hey, am I finding life more difficult in any of these areas? Am I finding myself struggling? Is it difficult to have healthy relationships? Is it difficult to adapt to change right now? Is it difficult to cope with adversity? Just to begin to observe that, and hopefully you did. And hopefully you've identified some areas where, yeah, you know what? It is more difficult than it used to be. I'm not functioning as effectively as I used to be. And if that's you today, you've picked the perfect weekend to come back, because today I want to talk about the next step we can take. Specifically, I want to talk about our church's approach and our church's plan to partner with you in this season and beyond to move towards mental health. Now, before we get there, there's a question I want to answer, and it's a question I know some of you are asking. We've heard about it, and I want to address it very, very directly, because I still think for some people, the question is still, is this a topic for church? Is this something we should be talking about? I understand different arenas, but why church? Why is church diving into mental health? And our answer this week is the same as it was last week. It's because mental health matters to God. And for the 3 years that Jesus was on earth with his public ministry, he was constantly talking about mental health. Last week we talked about John 10:10 was all about mental health. And today I want to take you to another passage where Jesus clearly and directly addresses mental health. And this isn't some obscure passage. This isn't some taken out of context. This is the most important thing Jesus ever said. And we know it's the most important thing Jesus ever said because he told us it's the most important thing Jesus ever said. If you've been around Wellspring for a long time, you know we talk about this passage a lot. We call it the Great Commandment. The reason we call it that is because one day when Jesus was teaching, some religious leaders approached him and they asked him a question. They said, hey, Jesus, if you're the Son of God, if you're really who you are, tell us, what is the greatest commandment? What is the most important thing that we could do? And Jesus said, glad you asked, because I have an answer. And here's what he says. He says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. He says, this is the first and greatest commandment. And again, if you have any church background at all, you've heard this verse. You've probably read this verse. If you attended church as a child in Bible school, maybe you even memorized this verse. You know, we know this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. We've heard it so many times. But I contend today, this is a verse about mental health. And it is a commandment about mental health. And to explain why I would say that, I want to do something I very rarely do, but I actually want to talk about the Greek for just a moment. Because when we understand the Greek words used for heart, for soul, and for mind, then it's going to help us better understand what Jesus was talking about and why he picked these three words when he was saying the most important thing you can do is love God with these three areas. So first, I want to go to the word we have for heart. It is the Greek word cardia. It's pronounced cardia. Obvious, it's where we get our English word cardio, referring to things of the heart. But that's an organ. The way this Greek word cardia was thought of 2,000 years ago, this is how we were going to define it. Cardia was the source of a person's psychological life in its various aspects, but with a special emphasis upon thoughts. So when Jesus is saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, he's saying, love him with all your thoughts, with what you think. And anyone who has ever had any form of mental health struggles know one of the first things you lose control over is your thoughts. You can't always raise them in. Sometimes they feel like they're at war with you. So when Jesus was saying, no, I want you to love me with all your heart, with all your thoughts, he's not condemning. He's giving an invitation to say, if you think that's hard, let me help you. Let me come into your life. Let me step into your life. And through my power, I can begin to heal your thoughts. I can begin to redeem your thoughts. I can take you to experts who can help, because your heart, your thoughts matter to God. He says it's the most important thing you can do is to choose to love God and to be able to submit to God and control your thoughts. But that's not all. He says heart, soul, and mind. We've thought about heart. The next word I'm going to look at, this is a fun word to say. This word is pronounced psuche. It's where we get our English word psyche. We decided to drop the P, but in Greek it's pronounced psuche. And here's what it means. It means it's the essence of life in terms of thinking, willing, and feeling. So he's talking about our soul. He's talking about our feelings. He's talking about our emotions. And he's saying, again, the most important thing you can do is to submit those to your Heavenly Father. The most important thing you can do is love God with your feelings, with your emotions. And again, we talk about mental health struggles, mental health issues, people, anxiety, depression, feelings that feel out of their control, feelings that they can't rein in. And again, like every commandment God gives us, it is an invitation for us to discover better. So when he's saying, love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your feelings, what he's saying is, and when that's difficult, I want to step in and help you love God with your feelings. But that's not all. Heart, soul, and mind. The word we have for mind is dianoia, and it means the psychological faculty of understanding, reasoning, thinking, and deciding. He's talking about our choices. He's talking about our logic. He's talking about the decisions we make. And he's saying, with that, when you think things through, I want you to love me with all of that, which means you have to have control over all of that. How many of you guys remember self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit? He gives us self-control. And so when he's talking about, I want you to be able to love God with your mind, I want you to be able to love God with the decisions you make, with the choices you make, again, he's saying, so if that's difficult, if you find your place in tension and in struggle, if you feel like you can't always make the choices you want to make, he's saying, come to me because I want to help, because this is what I want for you. So now that we understand what those words mean, let's go back and read the verse again. He says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. But it's also the first and greatest invitation. If you struggle loving with all your heart, come to me and I can heal it. If you struggle loving with all your soul, come to me and I can heal it. If you struggle loving with all your mind, come to me and I can heal it. I can provide help. I can provide the path to better. All three aspects of the most important thing Jesus says we can ever do are three aspects of mental health. Three aspects of our internal lives, our internal thoughts, our internal struggles that affect how we function daily. And because mental health matters so much to Jesus, of course it matters to us. Of course, it matters to his church. But just to make it clear, he adds a second command. He says a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And what he's saying is, hey, I don't just want this for you. I want you to want this for everyone. And so that is why we as a church are taking this so seriously. That's why we're talking about it. That's why we're developing a plan you're going to hear about in a moment. And it's why this matters to us. Because it matters to our Heavenly Father. In fact, it matters so much that another time he was having a discussion about the Great Commandment, Jesus gives us an amazing illustration. And it's funny because, you know, we have four biographies of Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And sometimes they record accounts exactly the same. And then sometimes they record some of Jesus' teachings differently. And it's always fascinated me that for some people, some scholars have said, ha-ha, this is proof that they made it up. And I always say, no, I think it's just proof that Jesus taught every day for 3 years. It's probably safe to assume he taught the same thing more than once, especially what he called the most important thing we could ever do. I'm sure he had a conversation about the greatest commandment more than one time. Matthew records one account. Luke gives us a different account. And at the end of Luke's account of this story, which I believe happened at a separate time in a separate place, there's a follow-up question, which is bold. That asks Jesus a follow-up question. But there's a follow-up question, and the question is this: who is my neighbor? Who am I to love? Now, the question was being asked as an opt-out because he really wanted to know, who do I not have to love? And Jesus, as he often does, takes a bad question and gives an amazing answer. Because what Jesus does is he not only tells us who we should love, he tells us how we should love. And the reason I want to take you to this story is because I believe within it, God is laying out the role of the church in partnering with him to accomplish the great commandment, to set people free to love God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their mind, with all our mind. You've probably heard it before. You've probably heard of the Good Samaritan. It's a parable we've heard. It's within our community. It's in our vernacular. When anybody, you know, helps someone stranded on the side of the road, you'll hear them called a Good Samaritan. This is where the story comes from. Jesus is the one who told us, and he told it in response to a question: who is my neighbor? How should we help people? And for us today, I believe it perfectly lays out our response to people who are struggling with mental health issues. So I want to take you to the story. It's actually found in the book of Luke. Let's get started. Here's what Jesus says. This is, again, response to who is my neighbor. Jesus replied with a story. And he says, a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. Now, it's very important to understand in this story. The Jewish man who was attacked was doing nothing wrong. He was minding his own business. He was attacked, he was robbed, and he was left for dead. The people I know in my life, and the people you know in your life, and maybe you, that is a perfect description of what it feels like to struggle with mental health issues. It begins as an attack. It feels like something coming from the outside. And as we talked about last week, it is an attack from a thief whose goal is to steal and kill and destroy. But it doesn't change in the moment that it feels like an attack. And it is an attack that robs us. People that tend to struggle with mental health issues or have mental health problems, or all of us right now during COVID, we feel like we've been robbed of something. We've been robbed of certain trips we're supposed to go on. We've been robbed of time with our kids. For people who even struggle with more severe mental health issues, they can be robbed of relationships. They can be robbed of an education. They can be robbed of finances. They can be robbed of hope, because of an attack that came from the outside that they had no control over. And an incredibly apt description of people living with mental health struggles is that they feel half dead. Alive enough to know something's wrong. Alive enough to know they're being left out, but not alive enough to know what to do next. So this is how Jesus sets this story. People who through no fault of their own have been attacked, robbed, and left hopeless. And watch what happens. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road, and he passed him by. Let's keep reading. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Two representatives of the church at that time, two religious leaders, passed by. Now, we don't know why they passed by. Maybe they were busy. Maybe they were running late. Maybe they feared for their safety. Maybe they were afraid that this guy had been attacked. If they stopped to help, the bandits were going to come back. We don't know. But if I had to guess, they didn't stop because they were afraid of the mess they saw. This guy had been beaten. He'd been left half dead. We don't know what his face looked like. We don't know if there was blood everywhere. I think they were afraid of getting messy. And I think that because I'm afraid the church for far too long has avoided engaging and stepping in and being a place that's safe for people that struggle with mental health issues, because we've been afraid of the mess. Because we maybe just didn't feel equipped, maybe we didn't feel adequate, but it's just been, that's too messy for us. There's got to be another place because we're not equipped to handle that mess. And I think that's why Jesus gives us these two examples, to be in such stark contrast with the next character in the story. Then a despised Samaritan. Just a quick side note, Jesus was usually doing more than one thing at one time. Despised Samaritan. The Jewish people and the Samaritans didn't like each other. It was a racial struggle. Jesus makes him the hero of the story. Just Jesus' little side note to remind us that racism has no place in his kingdom as well. But he says, then a despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. You know what that means? He didn't look at the man and say, well, I wonder what you did to deserve to get attacked. Well, I wonder what choices you've made. Have you worked hard enough to not be attacked? Have you really tried as hard as you can? Why can't you just get your act together? No, he looked at him and he saw compassion. And welcoming, that's the role of the church. To look at people struggling with mental health issues with compassion. To see them where they are, to step into that moment and say, hey, we're here. We want to help you. And here's how we're going to do it. What the Samaritan says. Jesus tells us that going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. So the Samaritan finds a person in need. He steps in. He does the basic care he can in that moment to stop the suffering. And he then picks him up and takes him to a place where he can find healing. Again, Wellspring, I see in this a calling for the local church, specifically ours, to be a place where people struggling with mental health issues feel safe, feel free of shame and stigma to come and talk and share about their struggles. A place where we are equipped to bandage, where we are equipped to soothe, and where we are equipped to take them and encourage them and push them towards sources of lifelong healing. And then there's one more thing. Let's keep reading. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, hey, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. See, he didn't just find someone in need of help. He didn't just help one time. He was in it for the long haul. And that's where we are as your church. We're in it for the long haul. We not only want to be a place where you can come to get bandaged. We not only want to be a place where we can find the place to talk to experts. We also, once the expert is done with their work, we want to be a place that provides lifelong support, encouragement, comfort, and hope to people struggling with mental health issues. Because that is who our Heavenly Father is. Has called us to be. Who is our neighbor? Everyone. And how do we love them? The way Jesus loved us and the way this good Samaritan loved this man. So today, if you find yourself willing to admit life is more difficult today than it used to be, I am finding it more difficult to function effectively in daily life. Hear me. There is no stigma. There is no shame. In fact, I will remind you, it is okay to not be okay. But hopefully what we've learned today is that through Jesus and your church, there is someone ready, willing, and able to pick you up and to walk with you to help. So while it's okay to not be okay, please hear me. It's not okay to stay that way. And it's not okay because you have a Heavenly Father who sent His Son to give His life, to reconnect with you, to overcome the curse of this world, to overcome the power of the thief, and to give you a pathway to better. And as your church, we are honored to play a part in that story. And to help you understand what that looks like, to help you understand exactly what we want to do, I want to take you to a conversation I had earlier this week. I had a conversation with Abby Beachy. She is the Director of Spiritual Development here. She has been working for the past 6 months to develop a plan for our church moving forward to address mental health struggles in our church and in our community. I cannot wait for you to hear it. So let's go check it out. All right, I'm very excited about this conversation we're going to have. Abby, as you know, the plan that we're about to talk about began as a prayer. Yeah. It began with something we were praying back in March, and God answered that prayer. So I want you to talk a little bit about that.
Well, I remember March 15th very clearly. It was a day that kind of everything changed. March 15th was the days the schools called us and said schools were going to be canceled for the foreseeable future. March 15th was the day we actually had church here in our building for the 8:30 service. I'll remember this always. We had to quickly physically shut down the building, move everybody out because we were online only at that point and are still online only. And so what we began to notice really quickly is that March 15th kind of marked a day that we all experienced a crisis and a traumatic event that none of us had markers or strategies of how to cope with. And so we began praying then, like, God, what does this look like for our community and our church? And we began praying not knowing what the rest of that year was going to look like.
So March 15th happened. Mm-hmm. And as we've been talking about, you know, change, mentally healthy people adapt to change. We can cope with adversity. How did you handle that moment? How'd you handle the stress? How'd you handle the anxiety?
Initially, I was kind of okay. I like new challenges. I like variety. And so there was so much room in the schedule for activities. But very quickly, no activities were to be had in the schedule. And so as we moved everything online, I kind of filled that need for variety and challenge. But very quickly, I started realizing I was becoming tired. Things weren't as easy. We've talked to tons of people. Things weren't as easy as they used to be. As somebody that's really comfortable with conflict or not uncomfortable with conflict, I started picking fights with people I loved. I would go home and not be the nicest person at home. And so I began to recognize my relationships that brought life into or brought life to my days were starting to feel challenging. And so I realized something was not right. And we began to ask the staff, how are you coping with this? And based on our personalities and our temperaments, some of us were really doing okay initially, but all of us were struggling mm-hmm. in different areas than we were used to, and sometimes in multiple areas mm-hmm. at the same time. And so we were all overwhelmed.
And so it was about at this time that you brought something to us. Mm-hmm. It was something that you had learned from some other churches, and they reached out. And what you may not know is that what Abby brought to us was a program called Mental Health Coaches, Mental Health Coaching. And once you brought it to us, we were like, hey, this is a great idea. And so many of our staff, in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of doing their normal jobs, have in addition been taking classes mm-hmm. and have now become what are called certified mental health coaches. Mm-hmm. And it's just really great how God moved because it kind of positioned us for this moment. And so why don't you share, you know, what a mental health coach does mm-hmm. And how we as a church are planning to utilize that basically starting today, moving forward, because of what we're talking about in the series.
Yeah. So mental health coaches, it's really important to notice that or to note right away that they're not counselors. That's important because we operate under the same ethical standards as counselors. And one of the primary standards is we don't operate outside of our training. Mm-hmm. So being a mental health coach does come with some additional training than any of us had going into this, but there is still next steps that you can take beyond our care. Mental health coaches are equipped and prepared to have more productive conversations. One of the things that our staff has always been gifted in, I believe, is having important conversations, having difficult conversations. But collectively, a mental health coach is trained in how to ask more pointed questions, mm-hmm. ask more direct questions, speak more to the potential of the issue. So, for example, how this looks in our ongoing care here at Wellspring is somebody says that they're struggling with anxiety or depression. They're just not feeling right. in one area of their life, the mental health coach can say, okay, tell me about your daily activities. What about this is causing this? Are you not feeling right because you are spending most of your time on social media and not having real social interaction? Are you reading a book? Are you getting outside? Mm-hmm. Are you doing things that are healthy? Or is this because you're believing untrue things about yourself, that you don't matter, that you don't that you're not valuable? So a mental health coach can see, okay, is this something that with groups or serving we can speak truth and life to this, mm-hmm. or is this something that requires a next professional level step?
So yeah, I mean, that sounds amazing. And I mean, like I said, a lot of our team has gotten that certification. So for people watching, people in our church, now that we have these mental health coaches, how does it change our approach to people that need help and the people that are going to be reaching out?
And one of the things that I'll say is that this is a brand new program that we're running. So if you've ever reached out for help to our team, we have always tried to do the best and be the most trustworthy with those requests. But it might have felt like a not very full approach.
Right.
And so if you felt that, that is accurate. But what this is going to allow us to do is to have the initial conversation, determine what's the next level of care. Is that joining a group? Is that serving here? Is that helping them find friendships here at Wellspring? Mm-hmm. Or just have an ongoing conversation with one of our mental health coaches? That's a wonderful thing about this program, is that we are more equipped to have long-term conversations.
Right.
Or is that something that does require next level care, outside assistance? But what we are equipped to do now is actually walk through the counseling process, walk through therapy, sometimes even with a medical physician mm-hmm. or a counselor or therapist. We are more in tune with what the process looks like. And so not only are we going to walk you through the care process, even if it's outside of our church, but we're going to have a next step that flows right into our community here at Wellspring.
So, sure. So what we hope you hear is that not only are we saying that it's okay to not be okay, not only are we saying it's not okay to stay that way, it's not okay to stay that way because you now have a church ready to stand with you. We have resources, we have tools, and we want to be able to walk with you in this process mm-hmm. as we all strive for the fuller life that Jesus offers. So starting mm-hmm. tomorrow, starting yep. this week, what can people expect from your team as we're really trying to bring this forward into our church?
Yeah. So right now, if you are watching and you're like, I want this, we actually have a place on the app right now called, it says Headspace Check-In. There's a 30-second to 1-minute survey you can fill out and let us know you would like to talk to somebody, and we will reach out this week. Our team will also be sending out that email. If you'd like to wait for us to reach out to you, we'll be sending out an email this week asking how you are doing. If you do not receive our emails, please send our team an email at care@wellspringchurch.tv, and we will make sure you're added to that list. Or you can drop in this Tuesday. We'll have our mental health coaches here and ready to be part of Drop-In Tuesdays. And we know that Tuesdays don't work for everyone. Mm-hmm. That's something we've heard in feedback. And so you can let us know if Tuesdays don't work for you. We will make time to connect and care for you and to get you the next steps and the right help that you need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So again, please, 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 please reach out. Please let us know how you are doing. We have people, we have tools, we have resources. We are with you in this. Your church is with you. And we want to do everything we can to help you, me, us, mm-hmm. all of us live the full life that Jesus offers. Now, I know that we just dropped a ton of information on you, so we actually have one more song we're going to sing together, and then we're going to have Abby and Shannon come back and wrap us up. So let's sing together.